Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Donna W. from California, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater. Today is Friday, the 13th of January, and we are reading from the Big Book. We are at page 55, the second paragraph. Today's readers are the 12 steps. We have Cheryl C., the 12th tradition, Audrey. Reggie O. is going to be the Big Book reader. I have Julie E. B. doing the A Vision for You, page 164, and Tamara C. is the backup. Lois P. is a newcomer greeter, and Betsy H. is the announcements. Thank you all for your service on this Friday the 13th. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery, and I'd like to have Cheryl please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Cheryl A.D. from Ventura, California. Thank you so much, Donna, for your service. And everyone else this morning, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Cheryl. Next up, we have Audrey for the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Team Friday. Thank you for your service. And happy birthday, OA. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Oh, Audrey M.P. from Santa Monica, grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Audrey MP. And I realize I did not announce the reference numbers for Thursday, January 12th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time was 19844. That's 19,844. And then for today, Friday the 13th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 19850. That's 19,850. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirements for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 55, the second paragraph, starting with, actually, we were fooling ourselves, and finishing with facts as old as man himself. Just one paragraph, please. And I am asking Reggie O. to please read that paragraph now.
Thank you so much, Donna W., for your service. Everybody on the line, and a great big hello to all you out there in L.A. celebrating our birthday. So did I say my name? I'm Reggie. Gratefully recovered today if I didn't. And here's the text. Actually, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship of other things, but in some form or other, it is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. And boy, what a paragraph. All these paragraphs are great, you know, and I was thinking as I was reading this for the group share today on it. This book is so filled with this, what's called, I think it's one of those living documents, you know. I've read it many times, and every time there's always something new, and it keeps getting better, wider, more, deeper, you know. And We Agnostics has been one of those chapters for me that it was probably the most difficult one to read, and now it's one of my favorite ones, this reading around. But I love that, you know, this is step two. This is step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And we needed a power, I needed a power greater than myself, because nothing I had ever tried had ever worked for me with the compulsive eating issue and other, and you know, other issues as well. And in the chapter above, it says, you know, we have all this evidence when we come here, right? God made these things possible. We see people, we hear people every day, and we get, you know, the opportunity to sometimes meet people and speak with people for whom this problem have been solved and who are reoriented in that way, and they're happy to share it, you know. And you know, there's, especially if you knew them before, you know, there's something different in them today. And when they said, you know, God or their higher power whatever their higher power is or whatever they call it, made these things possible. We just thought, oh, no, thank you. It's, you know, it's not true, even though we'd seen it with our very own eyes. So and heard it, you know, with those voices. And then the paragraph after this, which I won't get into, but it says, and where were we to find that great reality with capital G and capital R? And that is, we found the great reality in the last analysis, deep down within us. It is only there that he may be found. It is so with us. And when I started my journey in OA, I wanted to, in 1985, I wanted to be about as far away, you know, from God as I could. And then I went to a big meeting, and there was God and him written all over the place. And I really wanted to turn around and leave. But I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't, you know, and here I am, oh, some decades later and a lot of experience later, having, and in my life, I have tried many spiritual paths, and that was because the God of my understanding from a young age was a punishing God, and one who kind of stood on the sidelines and made a list and checked it twice like Santa Claus, but was looking for everything I had done wrong. And that has gone, that has changed so amazingly radically.
Time.
That went so fast. And I'm very happy to be saying that. Keep coming, you know, keep coming. And it's a God of your own understanding, a higher power of your own understanding. There are plenty of us here that can tell you that it works.
Thank you so much, Reggie O. So we'll open the lines for sharing. And remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. And please be gentle with me and giving me your first name, last initial, one at a time.
Rick J.
Nadia B.
All right, I got Rick
Jen
J.
A.
I got Nadia B. I got Jen A.
Julie E. B.
We got Julie E. B.
Cynthia C.
Bruce E.
Okay, I'm going to pause at Bruce E. There was someone before Bruce. Is there
Cynthia C?
Hi.
Yes.
Cynthia C.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what was that? There's one more.
Claire E. UK.
Claire, was it Claire? In the UK, what was your name again?
Claire E from UK.
Oh. I'm sorry. Can you just say that one more time?
Claire E from the UK.
Very. Okay. Got that. So I have Rick J, Nadia B, Jen A, Julie E B, Cynthia C, Bruce E, and Claire E. So with everyone, please mute yourselves and limit yourselves to 3 minutes. And we'll start with Rick J, followed by Nadia B. Go ahead, Rick.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Rick J, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in North Carolina, and just very grateful to be here today, standing on Manhattan Beach with all my beautiful brothers and sisters that, you know, that idea of, you know, of the God deep down inside me, you know, I always had that. I had something, you know, this idea, you know, and I sensed it, but part of the grief of my life was that I could never connect to it, and I was terrified of it, and that led me into this isolation that was unbearable, this feeling of loneliness and disconnection, that part of the reason that I had to fill that hole that was always inside of me was because of that idea, that feeling that I should be connecting to that, or I should understand it, or I should feel it more, and I would run away from it. And I always thought that it had to be a certain way, a certain thing. I had to do it the way other people did it. And the gift of this program and spiritual transformation is that I was able to come to terms with that power, that God of my understanding in my own way, and connect to it in a way that felt right. And then I became, you know, actually just transformed. You know, I left the dark and entered the light, and I'm standing here in the light, you know, figuratively, and, you know, just everything about my life today is different than what it was. And because I'm connecting to that power, and that idea is, you know, that's in there, knowing that I'm connected to it, you know, is just the greatest gift. I don't have to run away from it anymore. And I'm actually like a part of life. I'm connected to life. And, you know, that's where the joy comes, is, you know, being able to connect to the people in my life, and I can give love and receive love. And I think for me, that was what was so heartbreaking all my life, was that I never felt connected to love. And now I can. And that connection to love is leading me right into the connection with the God of my understanding. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Rick J. Next up is Nadia B., followed by Jen A.
Good morning, everybody. Nadia B., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. And good morning to everybody in L.A. I'm so grateful you guys are keeping this fire going. And I'm really grateful that we get together on this, you know, on our birthday. And I hope, you know, one day I can see you guys in person. But with this paragraph, I love this, you know, that it specifically states this is an idea of God that we have that can change. Because when I first came to Readers Anonymous, you know, I heard God, and I had this, you know, idea that was not true. And I heard, well, borrow my God. And I didn't know how to do that. And as someone previously said, this chapter was so hard for me to read. And I read it and reread it and reread it until I got a different idea of what this God could be. And I didn't have to borrow it from anybody. It was already within me since I was you know, since I was born. I see those ideas in my kids today. They know what good and not good are, just like I know what, you know, what God's will is not. And that's the idea, that is the theory that I had to test. I really didn't understand how to borrow a different God, but I did know what I can do differently, just like I had no idea how to eat. And that first step was crucial for me. You know, I was powerless and I had to ask for help. And here is those ideas that I had, how I, you know, I'm supposed to eat for my body or what I'm supposed to eat, were not true. The same idea of God for me that I had previously, my belief system, was not true. And that is, for me, the essence of step two. And it is so wonderful that we have this chapter to fall back on and chew on it and study it together and hear all kinds of different experiences, because we don't have to borrow anybody else's anything. It's already within us. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nadia B. Next up is Jen A., followed by Julie E. B.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Jen A., recovered by God's grace and mercy today here on Manhattan Beach, originally from Colorado. But, you know, just so good to be standing here with OA fellows and reading this specific chapter and this specific paragraph. Actually, I was fooling myself, for deep down inside of me was the idea of God. And I had blocked God off with food. I had blocked God off with exercise. I had blocked God out because I was seeking worldly and man-made solutions. And when I came to this program, I didn't know that my life was going to miraculously change. And I love how it ends in the paragraph. For faith and a power greater than myself, and power is capital P, that's G-O-D to a girl like me, and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives. That's it. Like, we're standing on the beach. There's, like, you know, how many of us out here? And this is the miracle of the gift of program. People from coast to coast, continent from continent, all coming for this spiritual convention and living this 12-step way of life. That's freaking awesome. And if you're here for the time on Manhattan Beach or on this line, There is a solution, there is a power, there is a way out, and it's living the 12-step way of life. And I'm not talking about just going through the steps once and following a food plan for a little while. This is like diligent work. And, you know, I didn't know it was going to be this hard, but if you would have told me that, you know, 5 years later I was still going to be doing the same thing, and that I'm not failing at it. Why? Because God's providing every single day for me. It's not a me, it's a we. It's a we of the fellowship, a we of me and God, and it's a we with me and the 12 steps in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, miraculous demonstrations. One of the miraculous demonstrations is a girl standing on the beach with me today who came to the OA birthday party and was my roommate. And I watched her recover over the last 5 years, and she still stands here. And so I'm just shouting out to you, girlfriend. I love you. And it's so cool, right? We all go back in and out. And I just said to the girl yesterday in California, I'm like, everyone's here. We're all welcoming, all inclusive, never exclusive, no man left behind in this program. So I think that's all with my time. I got 36 seconds on the clock. I'm going to leave it over to somebody else. Like Charles said, peace out. Love you guys. Happy birthday, OA.
Peace out. Thanks, Jen A. Try not to have any FOMO here. And the next step is Julie E. B., followed by Cynthia C.
Hi, this is Julie E. B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And, sending love to all the people gathered and scattered. I love this section I was just talking about with Quincy recently, how powerful it is for me, that it is deep inside me that there's this fundamental idea of God. I thought for a long time I had to accept, just because it was a power greater than me, that this God was somehow outside, unknown, external, that there was some matter of force or coercion or some certain ideas. And when we work a program, we're allowed to choose our own conception of God. Part of what that says to me is that I can look deep inside of me for what is good and true and what brings me hope and what words bring me healing, and I can move towards those things. There's a set of prayers from another 12-step program where it says, when I'm true to myself, I am true to my higher power. And so the 11th step talks a lot about, following a voice, and sometimes it's intuition, sometimes it's an absurd idea, sometimes we're figuring it out as we go. But this is not just power greater than us, it's a power personal to us. It's something coming from within us, as I like to think of, creating, loving power that I can rest in the hands of. So I think it's great to think about this whole idea, that this idea, this God idea, is deep within me. It doesn't have to come and clobber me can be experienced in some aspects of spirituality. It can rise up within me, and thank goodness, because I had a loving God for everyone else, but for myself, I had a lower power voice that told me I was a piece of crap and no good. And today I have a higher power voice that is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E. B. Next up is Cynthia C., followed by Bruce E.
Hi, this is Cynthia C., recovering compulsive overeater in Newton, Massachusetts. Boy, I've heard so much on this meeting. I didn't realize how much I needed to be here. I've been really going to meetings at a different fellowship that I've really needed to just to dive into. And so I haven't been at this meeting, when this is my home OA meeting, very much lately. And I get back here and I remember why I love this meeting and why I love everybody here and how important this is for me. And I love this topic, and I'm hearing so much. For so long I thought I had a relationship with a higher power, but I don't think I did. I think I was so caught up in all the lies and the fears in my head and the misconceptions of who the higher power could be for me. And through the 12-step rooms and through this meeting, I got to rethink who my higher power was and to have a deep personal relationship with that higher power. And so, every morning when I get centered, I find that I absolutely need, because I'm like, you know, I'm a compulsive eater of the hopeless variety, but I need at least an hour of time for prayer and meditation and self-inventory in the morning. And I have to do that comes before meetings. And that's one of the things, my relationship with my higher power, I realize, has to come even before I get on a meeting for me, because if I don't get grounded in my higher power, then 99% of the time I'm going to be in conflict with another human being in my life that day. And honestly, 99% of the time, it's my husband. And what I've learned in getting connected with the higher power, I used to, you know, focus when I do my meditation, say, I'm doing this to connect with you, higher power. But what I've learned, and I'm hearing from other people here, is that I'm really connecting with the inner part of myself, that before I got grounded in a higher power, I felt like my insides, my internal human being, you know, who I am, was divided up into so many parts. And the more that I get to focus on prayer and meditation and recovery and living the 12 steps and abstinence, the more I feel like I've connected in with my own authentic self. And so when I do prayer and meditation, I get to breathe deeply and pay attention to me. Like, I get to listen in. Who am I? Like, and I get to say hello to myself. And it's that part of myself I know, that's the part that connects in with my higher power. And I'm reworking the steps in this program. I'm on step 6, and it has been this incredibly intense week. It just has been a week of a lot of sort of old traumas coming up. And I think I'm seeing really, you know, these character defects, how they've been coping skills in my life, that they were coping skills that kept me alive in a violent and dysfunctional family, and how they're not working in my life. But as I pray for the willingness to let them go in a deeper way than I've done in the past, thank you, that so much is coming up, but I know I can trust in my higher power to hold me tight and keep me safe. So love you guys. Thank you very much. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Cynthia C. Next up is Bruce E., followed by Claire E.
Good morning. It's Bruce E. I'm in Florida, and hello to everybody. Grateful for this call, and that I'm alive and recovered today. Thank you, God. I notice here it says that down deep is the fundamental idea of God. I thought that was pretty interesting. And so it means that that idea was there all the time, all my life, even though I avoided it, is there since childhood, you know, all the way up through. Occasionally I'd kind of feel a presence of God in my life, and not often, but I discounted it and just let it go for a lot of years. So I had to suffer. But I turned to God at a young age. I think my life had, well, it'd been a lot different, that's for sure. I think it gone a lot easier, but wouldn't have the pain and the suffering and difficulties that I had. But I needed to go through those in order to get to the point where I was really ready to turn to a power greater than myself instead of trying to do it all myself. And we've been reading about all this reason. I did things, everything for reason all my life. And finally, I just didn't want to live that way anymore. And now I'm trying to turn to God every day as much as I can. I try to pray in the morning and read literature and get on meetings and talk to people and do what I think I need to do to keep trying to reestablish, keep that relationship going, get it better and better all the time. And it's not easy because there's a lot of distractions out there all over the place. Yeah, the last couple of days had a lot of kind of discouragement and self-pity. And today, as I persevered through that, prayed through it and stuff, and today is much better. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to a good day. I'm looking for somebody that I can help today. And it should be a very good day. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. And before we move on, just to remind everyone, we're on page 55, the second paragraph, starting with actually we were fooling ourselves and finishing with facts as old as man himself. And we'll have Claire E. read, and then I'll open up the lines for more shares.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for this meeting. My name is Patty. I'm a recovered bulimic and compulsive eater and from the UK, but currently sitting on the beach in LA, which is in itself a miraculous demonstration of what's happened for me in this program. What a paragraph, sitting watching sunrise over the beach with my fellows. I love this thing. It says, deep down inside, we were fooling ourselves. And, you know, it talks about, even in the step four paragraph, that you know, we were fooling ourselves in terms of, you know, what the value of our resentment, you know, we're fooling ourselves, you know, we cannot fool ourselves about value. And, you know, I've fooled myself about the value of all sorts of things in my life. You know, there's been so much that's blocked me from my higher power in terms of relationships and externals, various different people, substances. And, you know, I struggled with my connection in OA for a long time. It's taken me a long time to feel a higher power in my life. And I just love this because deep down inside myself, you know, that's where I have to look. And, you know, in order to do that, I have to use steps to get clear of all those other things, the calamity, you know, the drama, the pomp, the ego, the worship of other things. And, you know, that still small voice has always been there. I love to use the word intuition, and, you know, it means inner tutor, inner teacher. You know, I know deep down inside myself what is right from wrong. And, you know, I need the program in order to keep that channel open. And I don't just believe it's just inside me. I think it's inside everybody, and it's inside, you know, it's out there as well. Everywhere I look, if I choose to look for it, if I choose to look for God, I can find it anywhere that I choose to look. And I don't need to tell myself about values anymore. This is an internal job, not an external job. I don't need to have my ducks lined up for me to feel okay. I just need to get quiet, and I need to look for that deep down inside myself. And actually, maybe it's not quite as deep down as it used to be. I will leave it there. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Claire E. So remember that if you shared on, Wednesday and Thursday, please leave the line for others to share their experience, strength, and hope. And if you have never shared, then please let today be the day.
Linnea B.
Ron G.
Linnea B.
Okay, just one at a time, please. So Linnea B.
Ron G. What's her name?
Audrey M. E. I'm sorry, Ron, I didn't see anyone. I got Linnea B.
Marilyn
P. I got Mary M. P. I got Charles H. Audrey M.
Marilyn
G.
Roz G. Please.
I got Roz, and there's someone W.
Marilyn W.
Audrey M. P.
Marilyn W. And that one last one who mentioned their name?
Audrey M. P.
Okay, so we'll keep it there for now, and if folks have short shares, we'll find some more. So I have Linnea B, Mary M. P, Charles H, the Lee, and I think it was P, and then Audrey M. P. And if you're not sharing, please mute, and we'll move forward with Linnea B, please. Right. Was there a Linnea B? If so, please unmute.
Hi. Yes, Linnea B. I was talking away. Linnea B, recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you, Reggie, for getting us started. Love this paragraph. You know, it gives me the permission to listen to myself, to listen to that small inner voice inside. When I was a little girl, my mom was afraid I would be fat. And so I learned very early that it was not okay to be hungry, and certainly not okay to tell anybody that I was hungry. And God bless her, you know. But anyway, so, and I also learned that I couldn't say no. If something was bothering me, I learned to edit everything about myself. And so, you know, I didn't know, you know, should I stay in this relationship or not? Should I eat this or not? Should I do this or not? Should I keep this job? I mean, it was just a constant second guessing of myself without a path and a direction to move forward. Just crazy making and truly painful. And so reading this then, you know, it's just the deep down within, because there would be times when I could hear or feel something and it seemed like it was the right thing, but I just was so uncertain and afraid, you know. And then it talks about how that voice, which I would call the fundamental idea of God, you know, could be obscured. And I had lots of calamity, you know, I had lots of pomp, you know, and so this made sense to me. And when something makes sense, it's easier for me to try to get on board, you know. So, but it made sense. And when I think about the program from a 30,000 foot view, you know, my best thinking got me here. Clearly, powerless over food, and although that the layers of denial are so thick, took a long time to be able to make that genuine surrender. God willing, I hope we'll just say for today. And that my channels were blocked with pomp and calamity. And so that I couldn't hear this higher power that could direct me. And so then the house cleaning steps are to clear that channel. You know, and this just gave me a path, a roadway. You know, and then he says, you know, for faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations. These are strong words that I took to heart. So grateful to be absent today. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Linnea B. Next up is Mary M.P., followed by Charles H. Mary M.P., please unmute to share. All right, so Mary, we can't hear you, so we'll move forward with Charles H.
How you doing? My name is Charles H. I love you guys. Happy birthday, OA. Happy birthday to Manhattan Beach and everybody here. And I just want to introduce my friend Dale P. from Ireland. She's my best friend, and she's never shared before, and she's about to share right now on the iPhone 14.
Good morning, fellows. My name is Adele T. I'm from Ireland, currently in Manhattan Beach, and this is my first time sharing on Vision. And what I say is, when I came into program a year ago, my sponsor began taking me through the Big Book, and I was really struck. I was very moved by this paragraph. It had never occurred to me that I was born with a concept with God within me. It's just, for me, my higher power or God was outside of me. It was a judgmental God that loved me conditionally, that I was in fear of. You know, if I did what I was supposed to do, he or it cared about me. If I didn't, you know, I was ostracized or cast aside. But I still had quite a journey getting to this point where I connect with a power that's within me now. It because all of those years, the concept of God that I inherited really stood in my way. And last week, during my prayer and meditation time, I had a really wonderful image that came to me, and it really has worked so well for me in that I could see myself as a boxer in a boxing ring, and my higher powers, my coach in my corner, my loving best friend coaching me, pushing me to be better, to do better, and always there to mop my brow when things get hard, if I'm knocked out by life, always in my corner. And for me, that's just beautiful. That is just the kind of presence that is supportive, is loving, and just brings me through every day, the tough times. He's in my corner, he's by my side, and thank you for letting me share that. I'll pass.
Thank you, Deb P. Enjoy the birthday party. Mary MP, are you on the line? Step up Raj G, please.
Good morning. My name's Raj G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I am in Manhattan Beach, California. Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, to those of you who can't be here, we love you. I just happen to live in the area, so I'm close. But anyway, I'm going to focus on this paragraph. And it says that thinks that in this world can obscure me from the power of God. Worldly things can obstruct my view. And right now my view is a very tall wave crashing onto the earth. I have absolutely no power over those waves. In fact, I was just walking through them and I was too close and the tide kept kind of got my sweatpants wet because I didn't judge it. And when I have a power in my life that's greater than my obsession to compulsively overeat, and I know that it is deep down within me, I can't lose. With that attitude, I cannot fail. And, you know, I was a religious person at one time in my life. I went to church all the time. I had a religious life, but I spent most of my time in those areas compulsively overeating. And it was through the 12 steps and the removal of my character defects, which I'm also powerless over, that gave me a release from the obsession to compulsively overeat. And in the morning, when I pray and meditate, that power is deep down within me. Yes, it's out here in this beautiful land and this beautiful ocean, but really, when I'm quiet with God all by myself and I'm meditating deep down within, I hear the still, small, quiet voice of God who tells me the truth. And what's happening around me in the world and the food and the pomp is lies. So I choose to stay with the truth of the power of God that lies within me and tapping into that power in the morning and all throughout the day. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Raj G. Next up, I have Marilee P, I think, followed by Audrey MP. And if you guys could each do about 2.5 minutes, that would be awesome.
This is Marilee W. I'm not sure if it was me or Marilee somebody
W.
else.
Yeah, that's you.
Okay, great.
Thank you for clarifying.
Hi, my name is Marilee. I'm a food addict and I live in Colorado. In the context of where this paragraph is in the big book, we're in Weagnostics, which is step two. And coming in to the fellowship or even trying the program, there was a piece where that I was, let me back up. Lack of power is my dilemma. So with the food, continually saying that I'm not going to do it anymore, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it, and then I pick it up, and then I can't control it. So I've lost control, and I've also lost the power of choice of when that will come up. And that's a very deadly disease. And I keep repeating over and over. And so if I'm powerless, lack of power is my dilemma. And there's a lot of beautiful things in Weagnostics, going back and looking at this chapter often. I did not, I took the paragraph seriously where it said I had a week or a month to a month where the obsession would come back. And so really getting through the steps, I didn't need to overanalyze step two. I didn't need to, it was just a willingness to believe that there might be something greater than myself, or a hope that what worked for another recovered food addict would work for me. And with that, I start moving through, because I will, it's the 12 steps can be, they are a process of removal. And the more that removal happens, which happens in step 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, then I will be, steps 2 and 3 will open up. And so this process of removal, a lot of these things, calamity, pomp, worship of other things, which it talks about on the previous page, people, sentiment, things, money, and ourselves, I worship those things, keep me blocked. And so moving through the rest of the steps and not having to overanalyze step 2, it's a promise that I will start to have this experience with this power deep within myself. So that's what I got. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilee W. Next up is Audrey M.P.
Good morning, my fellows. Audrey M.P. I'm in Santa Monica. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm really happy to be of service on this meeting. I know that I'm abstinent when I count the days from my last share. That's a good thing to know that I'm involved in the meeting. I have FOMO this morning, and I'm down the street. I live like a few miles from the hotel, and everybody sounds like they're having a good time. I can't wait to get there. I wanted to say I'll be at the registration desk tomorrow from 12 to 2. Okay, so if anybody wants to say hi, there's no vision room this year. There was a vision room at the last, and I met so many of you, and I recommitted to my abstinence, and I recommit to my abstinence every morning. But I go to bed abstinent, and I wake up untreated. When I heard my fellow read the book, The Great Reality, and accentuated that G and R were capital, I went straight to Google and I said, what is The Great Reality? Like, what is it? And it is, it's that thing deep down inside. But if my disease is up in my head, if my mental obsession from anything that takes me away from my higher power is like controlling this, whatever part of the brain, the frontal lobe, I gotta go deep in my heart. And my heart wants things that my head shouldn't want. And so you rambunctious people out there on the pier and in the water, it's a big surf day today. I can't wait to see all of you. I can't wait to go deeper and deeper in my heart this weekend. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share today.
Thank you, Audrey M.P., and thank you to everyone who shared, whether together on the beach or dispersed around the world. It's great that we're gathered here today, and happy birthday, O.A. So let me just catch up with, so we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Robin P., will you please read A Vision for You for us? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. All right. And then if Robin's not available, would Julie E.B. read that for me, please?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize, just a second. Sorry, it just went off my phone. Okay, we're getting there. Sorry about that. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God, admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.